Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I think this is an exciting opportunity to be able to be involved in a franchise league in this part of the world, in the continent of Europe, in Ireland.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Zeebo going on his own, he gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78. Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss a sobering defeat to Connacht that makes things very, very interesting heading into this weekend's action in the URC. Plenty going on around the club as well. We'll touch on all that over the course of the next while on this episode of the Red 78. First though, Quinny, Hayes, how are you guys?
All right, after that game, I was looking forward to it so much, especially in Connacht's new ground, just really going up there and giving it a blast, but absolute dead rubber. I was so disappointed, but look, I suppose it means it's nothing new, as in it comes down to the wire, adding up to our stress levels again next weekend.
Makes it interesting anyway, heading into this weekend. Mr. Quinlan, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thanks. Yeah, I was there, witnessed it firsthand. I was on commentary duty, so yeah, very disappointing. And it was always going to be a tough one, even if you had a full strength team. But I think that first half was up to with some of the worst of the season. So yeah, that's life, that's sport. Otherwise, yeah. Good.
Good, 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 good. All right, let's get into the weeds of that match. Obviously, not spectacular. Munster losing 26-7. Let's get the thoughts of our listeners first, though, Fiona Hayes.
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for sending in the tweets. I'll read out a couple here. We'll start with Trevor. So much dead wood in the depth chart by the looks of performance on Saturday. If they're not able to front up he should have said Sunday, but if they're not able to front up on Saturday, surely wholesome change has to follow. Bring loads more youth through immediately, even at the expense of a full year of learnings and yearnings. Keane McGibney, poor display last week from several players. No fight, hunger or desire, unfortunately, at times. Massive game on Saturday. Thankfully, Munster play last on Saturday and will know exactly what is needed from kickoff. A shot at sort of redemption that needs to be taken. Ronan said, fair play, Connacht. Crowley is just a massive loss to the team as well as Tighe. I genuinely think Tom would have added a bit of something. Surprised he wasn't on the bench. Maybe I missed something on that, but surely you'd imagine if he was available, he'd start over JJ. Pat said, getting beaten happens, but to be held scoreless against Sharks for the whole match and Connacht last week for half a match is unacceptable. And he goes into JJ a little bit. Dave O'Hearn is the same. Can JJ be given another start for Munster? Given how flat Munster were going and how long it took for us to get into the game, what's going wrong in the dressing room? Can McMillan be believed what he says? We had a good training week in every post-match interview. And then I suppose there's one for you, Quinny, here. What does Alan think will be the fallout from the independent review? This is JJ Casey. Structures. Should there be changes on who is running the Munster organisation?
It's a tough question. We don't know until the findings come out of the review. Now, from what was released to the media, it says that it'll be made public. I don't know if it will. These things are never all made public. But obviously, it's to be welcomed that they need to kind of get some answers here and what went wrong, and not just in recent weeks, but just where the club is going. Everyone should review their organisation and sporting clubs fairly regularly. I'm sure that does go on, but I think with the negativity around the team and the club at the moment, I think this is something that needs to be ironed out. And people ask me, they ask you, they ask, it's everywhere I go. You know, even in Dublin, if I'm doing something, people are stopping and saying, what's going on down in Munster? So what is going on down in Munster needs to come out in the review. And, you know, I suppose a bit of leadership and a bit of positivity about change if required. Part of the question is there, what needs to happen? Do people need to go? I don't know. we won't know that until we get some information about how the recent stuff was handled. But it's to be welcomed. People want to know. And if you're relying on people to, you know, go and support the team, be it at the stadium, they don't have an ownership of the team and they don't have a God-given right to know every fine, small detail that's going on. But I think there needs to be some sort of positive, inspirational plan that comes out of all this going forward, that people can start looking up and feeling a bit more positive. It's been a topsy-turvy season with the results, and then the stuff in recent weeks with the redundancies, the Roger Randall situation, and you kind of back to a negative kind of performance again on Saturday night, which doesn't help. The Benetton-Ulster game helps massively. And you know, we've said this many times, being in Europe is, there's a guts of €1 million at stake here, which a team who's struggling, a club that need the finances, need that situation. So, it's a big week and it's a big weekend. And look, lots of other teams will be thinking the same thing. If we get into Europe, we get a financial kind of reward for that. So the review is to be welcomed, and it'll be interesting what comes out of that.
Yeah, we'll certainly keep a close eye on that. But let's go back to that Connacht defeat on Saturday. Fiona, how would you best sum it up?
Wow. It was a disappointing loss of the season. I think on the back of the two previous performances, is you felt like they had found a bit of grit, a bit of determination to finish the season on a high. I thought, yes, I was obviously a kind of a second string Ulster team, but I really felt like the bite that was in there, the attack that they showed, there was a lot of want. I could not believe my eyes, and I have to be honest with that first half last weekend. It was not good enough. What frustrated me the most was, yes, we've had handling errors all season. You know, it's been part and parcel of, I suppose, going after the attack and trying to change things up and attack wide and find that space. But the defence in that first half against Connacht was totally unacceptable. And you will have errors, but these are the same things happening as we've seen in big, huge games, like beating a pillar, just not getting our structures right in that area. It's fine, it happens in games, but I think it's happened to Munster about 5 times already, and there has been scores off it. That to me isn't good enough. And I was watching the game, and just before Ben Murphy's try, I think it was about 11 minutes, maybe 23 seconds in, I stopped it. And if I was to show a clip to like a team I was coaching, it would be how you'd approach an edge attack. It was perfect. It was Connacht were on the ball. They had a 9, a first receiver, 2 other backs, a wide, and then a forward in that front line of attack. Perfect setup for that edge attack. Munster were absolutely stacked. They had 6 players defending that. No issue. Really perfectly well manoeuvred. They got over there. It was just inside the 22, and I played it, and it was one carry, just a simple carry, a little tip on, and Munster were already back about 7 metres. So that line speed, 11 and a half minutes in, on a blind, on an edge where you could have absolutely hammered up and tried to get a turnover, or just even force them back outside of 22. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was staggered. They were coming up in bits and drabs. Some of them, the two closest drop barely moved off to do it. And I think that was a lot of it throughout the game. Yes, Connacht were exceptional, and you have to take your hat off. I thought Ben Murphy in particular probed the defence. You know, you could see in Munster's minds, can I come up? What am I doing here? But for me, that sort of line speed isn't acceptable at that level, especially in a local derby, and you just need to bring the bite, the grit, and we've seen Connacht bring it. Like, Connacht brought it in their defence, but for Munster, that's the area, I suppose, Rory, I was so, so disappointed with, because I know the systems they do. I know Leamy has, like, exceptionally put it in there. We've seen him do it at times. And to just not perform, yes, things can go wrong, but I think when you can always go back to defence, you can always go back to getting up off the line and just hammering home. That's a very, very simple part of rugby, and it wasn't there at times.
Mm. Quinny, the Dermot Barron red card was obviously a huge part of this game, a huge talking point of this game. You said in commentary that it was the crazy decision, a very harsh call. It's not a crock roll, they're saying it's a crock roll. Now that you've had a few days to think about it and to, I suppose, look back on the incident a couple of times, what are your thoughts on it now?
Yeah, I still think it wasn't, didn't warrant a red card. I think it was accidental. It wasn't a crock roll. Both players were, they were in an upright position. There was wrestling, grappling kind of going on to drive Dylan Tierney-Martin back over the ruck and get rid of the threat. Look, there's an argument, and I understand that there's an onus of care when you kind of fall down on someone's lower limb. But look, it wasn't a crock roll. I think it was more of an accidental thing. So, look, I think the way Munster were playing in the first half anyway, it didn't help them for sure. But, you know, ultimately that's not what I was thinking about after the game, that this is a travesty here. I just think they got to a red card, and for me, it wasn't a red card. It's a penalty probably, you know, for being a bit... But then you could argue if it's a penalty... It's illegal and it's a sanction. I don't think there's anything. I think it's a rugby incident. I think it's very unfortunate. So that's how I feel about it. But not a big... I wouldn't be kind of jumping from the rooftops giving out about it. I think I can understand in slow motion the picture doesn't look great and he falls kind of... He slips off the player. But there is no crock roll. That's not a crock roll when a player is down a low body position trying to poach. Mm. But... yeah, it was a harsh one, and it didn't help them. But yeah, they didn't help themselves either with lots of other things, as Fiona was saying there defensively. You know, the defensive stuff, Fiona. I think, yeah, you know, I often talk about speed of movement. Speed of movement is kind of a blasé comment, if you like. What does that mean? Well, I can run a bit faster than somebody else. It's the speed you move around the pitch and how you get on the ball, get to breakdowns, get back, set in defence, punch onto the ball when you're carrying. Munster just looks so lethargic in that first half. And to be fair, if Connacht were better, I think, and a bit more clinical, they could have got a couple of more scores. But their hunger, their speed of movement, their pace to their attack, their aggression around the breakdown, their post-contact meters were all so much more impressive than Munster's. I don't care if you're missing 20 players. If you put out any team on the field like that, the fight needs to be better. Much better in the second half, but it's too late. And you come down to the second half, comes down more to quality and execution and, you know, having the ability to break the opposition down and identify space and exploit it. So they probably fell short on that in the second half, but the effort was so much better. It shouldn't be the case that, you know, they have to have a review after that and start calling each other out and saying, well, that should have been better. You're near the end of the bloody season. It's a joke, really. And it's shocking that that happens, that the opposition team have more energy, more aggression, more enthusiasm, more speed of movement. And yeah, it was very, very frustrating. And look, I think the second half was better, but like, why, you know, you're fresh in the game, you know, you're going to a pretty raucous crowd. They're rubbing their hands together. Gavin Coombs is chatting about, you know, during the week, how they despise us, we despise them. Thought it was a little bit naive saying that kind of stuff. You've got to back it up. But they looked like they were angry, and they were, I know there's a real desire and a desperation for them to win, but that stuff you can control. I think the mistakes and maybe the missing opportunities and things in the second half, you can live with that. But I think very, very frustrating first half. And that's what the fans think. So everybody I've spoken to, and loads of people I've spoken to since in the last couple of days, have been very, very frustrated with that performance and some basic errors. And they looked very, very lethargic in that first half.
Something Clayton McMillan, Fiona, said afterwards kind of really stuck out to me. He said that Connacht's motivation was stronger than Munster's, which for the penultimate game of the URC season is a massive worry that you're not motivated heading up to Connacht to play one of your rivals.
And also all this chat about people losing jobs and money into Munster, and it was a chance to maybe nail down or be in the top four, you know what I mean, for a home. So I don't understand what motivation you want. How, yes, Connacht were outside of that. They had to push, obviously, to try and get into top eight. It was a far out chance, but they're still going. That's worrying for me. That's very worrying that you say that Connacht want him. I don't understand how that's possible. Yes, obviously it was the first Munster Connacht game in a new stadium. Is he saying Connacht wanted it more because Munster were chatting during the week and, you know, saying stuff around that? I don't know. But it's hard for me to understand how Connacht would want it more with everything that is going on and the real drive that this team seemed to have to put in performances on the tail end of the season, as it's been so up and down. It was almost like the last two games, if they got that win and a performance against Connacht, you almost felt like, yeah, they could be a bit of a small upward trajectory, but it's back again to up, down, great in Benetton, grand in at home, poor in Connacht. Like, what's going to turn up on Saturday? It's very, very important. But for me, like, you need to be motivated all the time. It can't be just random blasts of motivation to go out and play. That's I don't understand it.
Yeah, neither do I. And that's me looking at the outside. It suggests to me that performance not common from Clem McMillan, that like things maybe aren't going perhaps quite so smoothly behind the scenes in the camp.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of stuff happened in the last period of time which can affect the morale. And but look, part of this review, Rory, you don't want to speculate. They seem to all get on well with each other, the players and all that. And I don't think that's an issue, but I think you have to review the player performances as well. And part of this review is obviously the independent people coming in doing the review won't be rugby experts in the sense of review the game, but I think it's an important part of Clive McMillan's job going forward and trying to plan for the pre-season is what he's found out about these players, their characters, their quality. You don't have a blank checkbook that you can go and sign 10 players. It doesn't work like that, but you know, Munster have made one signing so far. Jack Anger is coming to Munster. It hasn't been announced. But you feel there should be a bit more business done, even within Ireland. Get a couple of younger players in, see if there's people available. It's very late in the day now. Jean Klein, is he going to be replaced in the second row? You know, Tucker Abrams is leaving. So is it a couple of forwards? Are you going to use up your three non-Irish qualified players slots? So yeah, there's a lot to decipher there, and the player responsibility and their accountability can't be taken for granted here. They have to be accountable for these performances. And look, there's players not playing well enough, and you know, that's the reality, and maybe some aren't good enough. I don't know. You know, there's some players that disappoint me on a regular basis, and then you get a bit of hope when they find some sort of performance. You think they're capable at this level, and then it's too indifferent, very inconsistent. And that inconsistency, of course, has to go back to the coaches as well. So the whole group have to take responsibility. It just feels like, Rory, it's get the season over and done with. The dangerous thing here, get the season over and done, but hopefully they can get into Europe. You know, the reality is they're going to be away from home if they do get in the playoffs, and hopefully that will happen. You know, whether they can progress beyond the quarterfinal, and the evidence of what we saw at the weekend and the injury profile, it's going to be very difficult. But it does have a feel like get the season over with, get a review done, make some change here, put a plan in place that kind of can give people a little bit of hope and give themselves hope. Because there's, like, to be fair, since the Ulster game, when you lose Klein, Ollie Yeager, Tom Farrell, Calvin Nash. Who else?
There's a lot missing.
Michael Milne was missing as well at the weekend. Jack Crowley, definitely missing one more. There was five. Ty Byrne, of course. Michael Milne is missing. Jack Crowley. So just probably seven or eight starters and power and experience players that are gone out of the group there. So, yes, there is mitigation to go up and not win the game in Galway. It's always going to be a difficult game. But I think the frustration is that that effort level in the first half wasn't good enough when you put on a Munster jersey. So, yeah, a lot to decipher and a lot of questions need answering. And I think the only way, and this is an important part of it, the feel-good factor in Munster is all this negative stuff. Whether you can't blame the media for this, this is the reality. And I've heard little stories at the weekend in Galway that, oh, it's the media's fault because of the Roger Randall thing. Oh, they've been all negative. Oh, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Just little stories. You meet people along the way, and I'm starting to kind of go, well, how is it the media's fault that this, they reported on something that, as I said a number of weeks ago, anyone with a little bit of common sense and foresight would have seen that this is something that could be a problem. And the fact that it could be a problem meant it is a problem. Do you know what I mean? Mm. That they've added to this. So it's not the media's fault reporting on this. Like, people want to know. Go out in the streets and ask people. Go around Limerick, go around Cork, go around to the rugby clubs. Ask them if you think it's the media's fault that we're creating that narrative. So, you know, people on the ground, good, honest, decent people, rugby people who are behind this team and are still behind the team and still behind the club, they need to know something. They need some sort of inspiration here. They need some sort of a plan. And one of the messages there at the start was, yes, I'll bring all the young fellas through. Absolutely. It's time now to actually throw guys in there, and if you're to going to have a season or two of a barn spell, or we can't really, you know, this season was very disappointing, really, after a good start. But, you know, that's what people feel, and that's where the pressure has to come on, and people who are getting paid to do a job, and the consistency is not there. So, we'll see what happens. This week is a big week. Obviously, if you can get a result against the Lions at the weekend and you make it into playoff, it helps lots of stuff, and sport and narratives in clubs and in sport can change very quickly, and it's a results-driven business, and that's the reality of it.
Well, that is it for this week's episode of The Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we will look ahead to what is a massive game against the Lions this weekend, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Go Loud app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.